All right, well, welcome to another edition of the podcast show right here on MusicLifeMagazine.net. MusicLifeMagazine.net, it's got it all. It's got articles, it's got photos, it's got links, it's got everything to do with music. Very global. Right now, you can check out a great article by Jim Barber on the band Billy Talent. Of course, our editor-in-chief, the owner, the head honcho, Joel Knappen. He has an article up and some photos of Sven Galli, who's back at it, played in Hamilton about a week or so ago at This Ain't Hollywood. Check that out. And you can check out all my podcasts right there at MusicLifeMagazine.net. The last one was with Matt Anderson. What a great artist he is, a blues artist from the East Coast to Canada. It's all there, MusicLifeMagazine.net. Now, you're asking yourself, who the hell is he talking to today? I met this gentleman at Canadian Music Week in Toronto in May and just got along with him great. We shared some dinner and some beverages. I got to learn about what he's got going on, which includes a music success retreat in no other place but Malibu, California. Who doesn't go to Malibu? Who doesn't want to go to Malibu? We're going to talk a bit about that. We're going to talk about the music industry. And just so you know a little bit about Joe, he's a 23-year LA record producer who's developed Macy Gray. And by the way, if you don't know this, she has sold over 17 million records. His credits include Michael Jackson, Fergie, Will.i.am, Quincy Jones, Universal Music, Sony Music, Apple Music, Interscope, Atlantic, and many, many others. He's the founder, as mentioned, of the Music Success Workshop, and he is the CEO of Joe Solo Music and Entertainment. Please stay put. Don't go anywhere. Pour yourself a shot of whiskey. Coming up next, it's Joe Solo. All right, as we get set to rock and roll with Joe Solo, thanks again for joining me. My name is Shane Christopher Neal. And a few things. First of all, a shout out to my partner on BS Live Rocks, Bobby R. Rock. And a reminder, in case you didn't know or in case you forgot, that each and every week, each and every day, to be honest with you, you can find out where live music is in Southern Ontario, right here in Canada. Southern Ontario, bslliverocks.com has all of that information. And Bobby does a great job updating the site. You can find out where bands are playing, what bands are playing. You can click on the bands and check out their bio. You can click on the venue and check out where the venue is and find more information on that. So bslliverocks.com. So that also reminds me, as we get through the summer here, that coming up in September, again, the end of September, BS Live Rocks will be renewed for season number 3 on Your TV Niagara. So BS Live Rocks on Your TV Niagara. If you're in Southern Ontario, HD 700 is where you can check out the show. Lots of interviews. We got live performances in studio. We go out on the road and we check out bands and we film live on location and all that fun stuff. BS Live Rocks on Your TV Niagara. HD 700 starts again in September. Also, coming up soon, a conversation with drummer Phil Verone. Now, Phil Verone, how do I say? Phil Verone is a drummer, he's a producer, he's a songwriter, and he was one of the founding members of the band Saigon Kick. Remember the song Love Is On The Way? And he did that from 1988 to 1996, and again from 2012 to 2015. But Phil is an interesting individual. He's played with a lot of great people, like, for example, Vince Neil of Motley Crue. He recorded an album with Skid Row, which was pretty cool as well. But he's also been on television, film, and radio, and he's been in Miami Inc., Californication, Inside Celebrity Rehab. He is a known sex addict. He's been nominated for a number of AVN awards in Las Vegas. And back in 2017, he was featured in a lengthy documentary called Waking Up Dead, which basically a film crew followed him around for several years to document life as a touring drummer. And Phil will admit to his drug problems, his sex problems, and all those things on the documentary. Now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Today, he is not really sure. Maybe he should have done that documentary, but I'll tell you what, we're going to dive into that. The AVNs playing drums, rock and roll, and all that fun stuff. Phil Verone coming up. That will be coming up in the next couple of weeks. And after that, a short hiatus, I believe, here on the podcast show, just for the maybe the month of August or part of the month of August as we wind down summer. I got a lot of things going on. I'm going to New York City to do some work in New York and just some festivals. And I'm involved in the Grow Up Conference as a host, which is the beginning of September in Niagara Falls. So I've got some prep to do for that. So probably a little bit of a hiatus come later in August, maybe the whole damn month of August. Who knows? Anyway, let's get at it. Enough of me chatting. Let's hear what Joe Solo has to say. Please enjoy. This is MusicLifeMagazine.net. All right, it's another day, it's another dollar, it's another podcast show. SCN here for MusicLifeMagazine.net. Make sure you check out MusicLifeMagazine.net. We have some great contributors. We've got some outstanding writers, Jim Barber being one of them. I keep mentioning his name because he is one of Canada's finest music journalists, and all his stuff appear right here at MusicLifeMagazine.net. Now, I hope he's going to pay me for that, but probably not. Another guy who's not going to pay me, but I'm happy he's joining me, is Mr. Joe Solo. And I just love saying your name. How you doing, my friend?
Well, I'll pay you if you require that. You're worth it.
If I'm worth it. I love it. I don't know that I'm worth it yet.
No, I'm saying you are worth it.
Oh, you're saying I am worth it. Good. I'm glad. So yeah, we connected at Canadian Music Week this, I guess, spring it was, and we actually engaged in breaking bread at dinner and some drinks and that. I got to learn a little bit about what you do, and you're based out of Los Angeles, or do you live in Malibu, or do you live in L.A.?
I'm in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, Marina right Del Rey.
Primarily. Yeah. like it's part of L.A., right on the coast, right where the marina is.
It's beautiful, Marina Del Rey. I was there for lunch. My flight got delayed, and I ended up going to Marina Del Rey to have something to eat there. I think we had that conversation when I met you. You have a lot of great things going on. One is the Music Success Retreat, which is going to happen fall, winter of this year up in Malibu. Let me ask you, before we get into a little bit about the music business, where did you get your start in music? Have you always been in L.A., and have you always been like that producer, music exec guy?
No, I actually started out as a lead guitar player in a rock band, and I grew up in a place called Shaker Heights, Ohio, which is just outside of Cleveland. And somewhere around 14 or 15, I had decided I wanted to make, you know, music my life. And after the first semester of college, you know, I went to my folks. I was like, look, I got to go out to L.A. and go for it. And they were cool with that, so I came out and lived in Hollywood for a while, and kind of built things from there.
So I'm going to ask you this as my first question, although it wasn't the first one on my list. How important do you feel it is today for the artist to live in a major market like Los Angeles, New York, Toronto, Montreal, whatever it may be? I mean, things are different now than when you went out there, right? There wasn't digital, there wasn't the internet. But how important do you find it for the artist to be in those places as opposed to in Ohio or Wyoming or Ontario?
Yeah. Shane, that's a really good question. It's not critical. But one of the major components, really in any business, but especially in something like music, is your relationships with other people in the music industry. And I'm talking about, you know, authentic relationships where you know these people, and you see them at events many, many times, and you get to know them, and they get to know you, and trust gets built.
Right.
And that's hard to.
It's hard to do on the distance, right?
When you're not in person. So when you're in a music center, that's a lot better. That being said, there are lots of little music center pockets that people don't realize are music centers.
Right.
You know, and a lot of it has to do with style too. you know, for example, if you're in Latin music, Miami is pretty much your only music center.
Right, right. Makes sense.
You know, much more than L.A. Toronto is a music center that's just bursting with talent.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like, you know, I mean, that's why I go to Canadian Music Week. It's sort of like this hidden gem that the world doesn't even realize how much talent is there.
Well, I think the big thing with
a lot.
Right, and I think the big thing and the hidden gem at Canadian Music Week is that I'm a host there, right? And more people need to know that than they would come, I'm thinking. But that's just me. let's go to the next question. What are some of the biggest misconceptions that you're finding about the music business right now?
Oh, man. Another great question. Because, you know, I typically am either producing records or I'm speaking on how to be successful in music through my music success workshop business. And so through that, in general, everyone seems to have this idea of how things work. And until you've experienced it from the inside, you can't really know. It's kind of like, I use the analogy of a goldfish in a fishbowl. And the goldfish that's in a fishbowl, that's, you know, a convex shape and therefore distorts the view of the outside world in a way that has nothing to do with the way the outside world actually looks. But because of the shape of the bowl that fish is stuck in, he thinks the entire universe looks different than what it is.
Right. I get that. Totally.
You know?
So now, you're saying, like, when you're in the business, you get to see what that business is like. When you're looking from the outside, it's completely different. And I get that a lot too, because I work in the business in a lot of different ways. And my next point is, if I was to ask you about how somebody can make a living, like a reasonable living in music, what do you tell them? Like, do you say, you know, well, you should be a songwriter as opposed to the artist because you get publishing? Or how do you give someone advice to say this is how you can make some money to actually live in music?
Well, the answer to that question is to do. A lot of people are like, I'm an artist. Should I do, you know, this should I do hip hop because it's the most popular music, or should I do, you know, country, which is where my heart lies, but, you know, it's not the most popular music, and that decreases my chances of making it. And I would say, well, in that example, you should definitely do country, because that's where your passion lies, and it's that authentic passion that resonates with your audience, that moves people, that connects you with your audience.
Right, so go with what's in your heart, not what...
Like, right. Do this because you can make the most money, as opposed to do this because this is where you'll shine the most.
Right.
Definitely go with where you'll shine the most.
How important do you feel it is for an artist to have a record deal? And before you answer that, I know that at your workshop, I think you're either having or looking to have Rick Barker there. And Rick's the guy who told me this, and he had said, you know, you don't need a record deal to be successful in music. But if you want to be a global superstar, i.e. a Florida Georgia Line, a Taylor Swift, a Bon Jovi, you're not going to do it without a record deal. It's impossible. You need an army of people to push it. You need radio promotion still. How important do you think it is for an artist to have a record deal, or does it depend on the style of music or what type of artist they want to be?
Well, you just nailed it right there. It depends on the style of music, all right? If you want to be a pop star, yes, you're going to need radio, and major labels have the lock on radio. End of story. You're going to need it. But let's say you're in a rock band, Or maybe you do something like the group Fish used to do. They're a highly improvisational sort of Grateful Dead type band. They had toured a lot and amassed their own audience and kept an email list of all their audience and constantly built their list to the point where they would advertise their own shows and tours directly with the fans and had a couple hundred thousand followers and had great lucrative careers without ever being on radio once.
Right.
But that's like an improv jam 60s type style. You know,
it's a little bit different.
If you want to be that pop star or that rap star, you definitely need radio. You need a major label. But prior to that, you can also build things yourself independently and build them up to the point where you may have enough of a fan base to support yourself. You may not want a major label by that point.
Absolutely.
You're making all the profit yourself and you're in control of yourself. And at that same the point that you're large enough for a label to notice you, they may come in with a sweet enough deal that it's worth it to go with them. So you just have to take care of the cups.
Right, absolutely. When I look at some of the stuff that's happening at your retreat, there's a portion on songwriting too, right? So what makes a good song to you? Is it the melody? Is it the lyrics? When you listen to something, what makes you say that's a good song?
In the book I'm writing, the definition of a good song, the Joe Solo definition of a good song is a good song expresses what people don't know how to say.
That's beautiful. I think you told me that at Canadian Music Week, now that I think about it. That's a great line. Because people, when they listen to something, go, that's great.
People don't know how to say. Yeah, because, you know, it's like, imagine some kid, he's like, oh, baby, I miss you so much. I made a mixtape for you. This is the way I feel.
Right.
You know, there it is.
So what, if I was to ask you about maybe one thing an artist can do to springboard their success, what would it be? Like, would it be get better at social media, play more live shows, I don't know, get a better band? Like, what would you say is the most important thing for an artist to kind of move quickly ahead? Because when I read through your stuff, part of what you're looking at is you're trying to let people move ahead in this business without wasting time and years, correct? So how does that happen? How does an artist springboard their success?
Like when people sign up for my newsletter and tips and free music success video nuggets, I'm trying to give them information to bypass years and years of trial and error doing things that I know don't work.
Right, just from your experiences, right.
Nobody knows what does work, otherwise we'd all be big, rich superstars. but I see a lot, you know, I've been doing this for 32 years. I see a lot of the very common mistakes that people make. But to answer your question, what would be like the one thing that propels them? Nothing propels your career forward like fresh, new material. So I would say always be writing. Always be writing.
Good point.
And improving and being completely, just put your ego down and be completely honest with yourself and with whatever constructive criticisms people who hear your music say. You know, don't get into that habit where, oh, you just don't get me. They just don't get me. Everyone, nobody gets me. No one gets my music. You know, if everyone is telling you to maybe trim down that 64 bar harmonica solo at the beginning of the song, it might be worth listening to.
Absolutely.
You know?
So let's talk about, let's go to, you were mentioning an email list. So I want to talk about that. You give those nuggets of information. So you have an email fan list, we'll call it that you reach out to on a what, weekly or daily, or I'm not sure how often. Let's give that email right now so we can get that out there. And I assume that's where you can access all this information.
Yeah, you can just sign up at joesolo.com. And a couple times a week, I send out some really good inside information. And a lot of it is focused on the human and musical aspects of being successful, as opposed to like engineering, how to dial in a digital delay. There's enough things out there in the world of Google that if you want to know how to do that, you can find it.
Right,
but
right.
The stuff that you can't really learn until you have done it, that's the information that I'm disseminating here. And it's a way for me to give back. It's a way for me to find new talent to produce. It's very fulfilling.
So, go ahead.
Cost anything. You just go to joesolo.com and sign up. And the very first thing you'll get is a music success video guide called How to Get Your Music in Film and TV, and also a list of the 9 music career-killing mistakes. And I include how to avoid them.
That's important.
It would be pretty slimy to put out that list and not include how to avoid them. So, you know, this information you could put together to start putting in your career to move it forward that very night. And well, there it is.
So you're going to do this music success retreat this fall winter. It's in Malibu. You're only selling 30 tickets. Is that the deal?
Yeah, it's an overnight retreat. It's actually room for 15 people to sleep overnight. The other 15 can stay locally.
Yeah, they can lay on the beach. Or they can go to Moon Shadows and stay. Have you been to Moon Shadows, by the way?
Man.
Isn't that place beautiful?
I go to Moon Shadows. My lady and we love that place.
I'm in love with it. Yeah, and the Duke. The Duke is pretty cool. That's a little more
cool.
Casual.
Moon Shadows is right there on the water, and they have these little padded sort of lounge areas where you can chill after your meal and just lie back under the stars and hang out. Which it's unusual for a restaurant to give you an area for you to lie back after you fill
it with
a bunch of delicious food. But anyway, what's cool though is that a lot of these places, and this kind of goes back to what you were saying, about living in a music center, is I can't tell you how many times that I've run into or met people in the industry and had some very serendipitous, authentic, organic networking that happened because I just happened to start a conversation with them.
Right.
Or that was me in one of these places. So that's the kind of thing that you can't just expect to happen as often if you're living in Tunipish, Wyoming, you know?
Well, this thing's happening in Malibu, so if you're in Malibu, you want to get to Malibu, make sure you go to joesolo.com. And I know you're changing the dates. The dates I have here are in September, and you said you're going to push them back a bit. But people will be able to sign up on your website, I take it, and be able to go and learn everything that you have to offer. It was great meeting you at CMW. It was great having dinner, and I'm glad we had this conversation. And I know it's not a very long one, but I wanted to make sure we got some information out to people about what you're about, how they can check you out, especially your email, and getting those little nuggets of information. Because I always tell people that I work with as artists, you need to find people like yourself, the Rick Barkers. There's people out there that have the experience and the know-how, and they've made the mistakes, and they're trying to help you along, and they're so important to move your career ahead quickly, and that's exactly what you do, and that's why you're so freaking awesome.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, if your career is burgeoning already, and you don't feel you need any outside perspective, you know, that's great. But you know, most people can use a little perspective from an industry professional, and can benefit from it. So, yeah, I really appreciate that you had me on your show. It's great to have dinner with you and meet you in Canada. That's like, again, one of those little serendipitous, awesome networking things that just kind of happened organically. So.
Awesome.
Well,
I hope you come back. And if I'm ever in LA again in the next little bit, which I think I plan to be, whether it happens or not, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to look you up, and I got your number, obviously. So we're gonna have a drink at Moonshadows.
We'll grab some Moonshadows. I like that.
All right. JoeSolo.com. Awesome. Make sure you check it out. This is MusicLifeMagazine.net. All right. That concludes another podcast show right here at MusicLifeMagazine.net. Always a pleasure to speak to Joe Solo. I swear I love saying that. Joe Solo. If you're out in California, make sure you check out his workshop. We left you the website there and all that. A great guy, first class guy, and he's out there where it all happens in Los Angeles, California, Joe Solo. Coming up on the SCN podcast show here at Music Life Magazine, I am working on Mr. Phil Verone. Phil is first of all, he's a great drummer. He formed Saigon Kick, the hit Love Is On The Way. Of course, they went pretty big with that song. He's also played with Vince Neil. He's recorded an album with Skid Row. He, by the way, has been nominated for a number of AVNs. We're going to get into that as well. Phil Verone. I hope to record that real soon and get it out to you right here at MusicLifeMagazine.net. Make sure you check me out on Facebook, Shane C. Neal Media Personality. Shane C. Neal Media Personality. And I also have a personal page at Shane Christopher Neal. I am on Instagram. I love the Insta. At Shane, I think it's Shane C. Neal. It might be Shane Christopher Neal, but I'm sure one of those will take you there. I love Instagram. Post a lot of pictures there as well. Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure. Thanks to Joe Solo once again, and we'll talk to you once again next week right here at MusicLifeMagazine.net.